Welcome to Audit IQ Update for June 10th, 2026. I'm your host, Alex, and as always, we'll be delving into the world of monitoring for e-commerce merchants, covering every aspect from technical, operational, to sales, and more. Let's get into it. This has been a genuinely significant week in e-commerce security, web performance, and platform development. We've got a novel payment skimmer technique that's bypassing security controls most merchants rely on. A major Chrome release with real implications for store performance, fresh data on the cost of poor web vitals, and a wave of updates from Cloudflare that matter for anyone running edge infrastructure. There's a lot to unpack, so let's dive straight in. Let's start with the biggest security story of the week, and honestly, one of the most concerning developments I've covered in a while. Security researchers at SANSEC have published detailed findings on a novel payment skimmer that uses WebRTC data channels to steal customer payment information. Now, if that sounds technical, let me break it down because the implications are really important for anyone running an online store. Traditional payment skimmers, the kind we've been dealing with for years, work by injecting malicious JavaScript that sends stolen card data to an attacker's server using regular HTTP requests. The defense against this has been Content Security Policy, or CSP, which lets you whitelist which domains your site is allowed to communicate with. If a skimmer tries to phone home to an unauthorized server, CSP blocks it. It's been a reliable defense. This new skimmer completely sidesteps that. Instead of using HTTP, it establishes a WebRTC peer-to-peer connection to a hard-coded IP address over UDP port 3479. It receives its malicious payload through that connection, captures payment card data, and exfiltrates it, all without triggering CSP violations. The browser doesn't flag it. Your server logs don't show it. Your WAF doesn't see it. From the perspective of most security tools, nothing unusual is happening. According to the research, this skimmer exploited a vulnerability called PolyShell and reached an astonishing 56.7% of affected stores. That number alone should give every e-commerce operator pause. This isn't a proof of concept sitting in an academic paper. This is active, widespread exploitation happening on real stores with real customers. The lesson here isn't just about WebRTC, it's about the fundamental approach to e-commerce security. If your entire security strategy is based on preventive controls, CSP headers, WAF rules, server-side validation, you're missing what's actually happening in your customers' browsers. You need detection that works at the client side, monitoring what scripts are executing, what connections are being made, and what DOM modifications are occurring on your checkout pages. This is exactly the kind of visibility that real user monitoring provides, and it's a perfect example of why tools like Audit IQ exist, watching what's actually happening on your live site from the customer's perspective, not just what your server says should be happening. Moving to platform news, let's talk about Magento. Now, Magento Open Source 2.4.9 was released back on May 12th, but its effects are still rippling through the ecosystem this week as more merchants begin their upgrade planning. This is not a routine update. It's a landmark release that includes more than 500 enhancements, bug fixes, and security patches. The headline features include PHP 8.5 support, which brings significant performance improvements at the language level. There's a switch to Valky as a cache backend option, replacing Redis for merchants who want an open source alternative. OpenSearch 3 compatibility is included, and there's a new rich text editor called Huge RTE, replacing the previous TinyMCE editor. Under the hood, core framework components have been replaced and older PHP versions have been dropped. For Magento merchants, this upgrade represents both an opportunity and a risk. The performance gains from PHP 8.5 and Valky can be substantial, but any major platform upgrade carries the potential for regressions, broken extensions, changed APIs, and unexpected behavior in customized code. This is where monitoring becomes absolutely critical. You need visibility into your site's real-world performance before, during, and after the upgrade. not just synthetic benchmarks, but actual user experience data showing whether the upgrade improved things or introduced new issues. Now let's shift to Chrome 149, which began rolling out on June 2nd and has some genuinely interesting features for e-commerce teams. The headline feature is CSS gap decorations, the ability to natively style gaps in CSS grid and flexbox layouts. If you've ever needed lines or decorative elements between grid items, you'll know this previously required pseudo element hacks, extra div elements, or JavaScript. Chrome 149 makes it native with properties like column rule inset, row rule inset, and visibility controls for showing rules only between adjacent items. Now, you might be thinking, how does a CSS feature matter for e-commerce monitoring? Here's the connection. Every time you remove a JavaScript workaround or a complex CSS hack in favor of a native browser feature, you reduce main thread work. Less main thread work means better interaction to NextPaint scores. Better IMP means more responsive product pages, smoother checkout interactions, and ultimately higher conversion rates. It's a progressive enhancement. In browsers that don't support gap decorations, gaps render normally without the decoration. No harm done. The second Chrome 149 feature that matters is the WebSocket BF cache improvement. Previously, if your e-commerce site used WebSocket connections for live chat, real-time inventory updates, or dynamic pricing, those active connections prevented the page from entering the back-forward cache. This meant that when a customer browsed from a product page back to a category listing, the browser had to do a full page reload rather than instantly restoring the cached version. Chrome 149 changes this by disconnecting WebSocket connections when a page enters the BFI hash, allowing the cached restoration to proceed. The result is dramatically faster back navigation for users, which is exactly the kind of browsing pattern that's common on e-commerce sites. A shopper looking at multiple products, going back and forth between listings and detail pages, that experience just got meaningfully faster if your site supports BF Sash. Let's talk about Core Web Vitals, because the data from 2026 is making the revenue impact impossible to ignore. An article from Interact Marketing laid it out clearly. Core Web Vitals remain a confirmed Google ranking factor, but the ranking benefit is almost secondary to the conversion impact. Google's own research shows that reducing page load time from 3 seconds to 1 second can improve conversion rates by up to 27%. Recent data from Shopify-focused research found that a 100-millisecond improvement in mobile page load speed can boost retail conversion rates by up to 8.4%. And on the flip side, a 1 second delay reduces conversions by 7%. To put that in real money, if your store generates £1 million a month, a 1 second delay is costing you £70,000 in monthly revenue. Shave off just 100 milliseconds and you could recover £84,000 annually. These aren't theoretical numbers. They're derived from real user monitoring data across large sample sets of online stores. The metric that deserves the most attention right now is INP, Interaction to Next Paint. INP replaced first input delay and measures responsiveness across the entire user visit, not just the first click. A good INP score is 200 milliseconds or less, over 500 milliseconds, and the experience feels broken. The challenge for e-commerce teams is that INP problems often hide in the most critical parts of the user journey. Your product page might have a beautiful, largest contentful paint score and zero layout shift. But if the Add to Cart button takes 400 milliseconds to respond because your main thread is busy processing analytics scripts, that's an INP failure that directly impacts conversion. And you'll only find it with real user monitoring, not synthetic tests. Speaking of Shopify, their web performance team published a piece on the Essential Performance Toolkit for 2026. That's worth noting. The key takeaway is that Shopify is now explicitly recommending a triangulation approach, running synthetic audits, real user monitoring, and AI-powered analysis side by side. No single tool gives the full picture. A lighthouse score of 95 is meaningless if real users on mid-range Android devices are experiencing 3-second load times. the industry is clearly moving toward the position that real user monitoring is table stakes, not a nice to have. On the cart abandonment front, Baymard Institute's 2026 data puts the average rate at 70.22%. That's 7 out of every 10 shopping sessions ending without a purchase. The top reason remains unexpected costs at checkout, but 22% of abandonments are attributed to checkout processes being too long or complicated, and 18% cite security concerns about payment. That security concern number is particularly relevant this week given the WebRTC skimmer story. Every time a data breach or new skimmer technique makes headlines, it reinforces consumer anxiety about entering payment information online. Research from Optimus Technology adds another dimension. Payment failures impact 1 in 5 e-commerce orders, creating an estimated $47 billion in annual revenue leakage globally. That's not fraud, that's legitimate customers trying to pay and failing due to technical issues. Payment gateway timeouts, failed API calls, JavaScript errors on checkout pages. These are operational problems that compound the abandonment crisis. Let me briefly cover the Cloudflare updates from this week because they're relevant for the infrastructure layer that many e-commerce sites depend on. Wrangler 4999.0 introduced a new create test harness function for integration testing Cloudflare workers. This is significant for e-commerce teams using workers for edge logic, things like A/B testing, geo-routing, or API orchestration. The test harness lets you run workers in a local preview environment using production build output, send requests to individual workers, trigger scheduled events, and even capture structured logs for debugging. Wrangler 4.99.0 also added pipeline status and failure visibility to the CLI, so you can now see at a glance whether your data pipelines are healthy or failing, and why. Miniflare was updated to Workered 1.2.6.0.6.0.9.1, and the Cloudflare Vite plugin reached version 1.40.1. These are incremental updates, but they contribute to a more robust development and testing workflow for edge-first e-commerce architectures. Cloudflare 2026.6.0 also shipped, which is the tunnel client that many merchants use to securely connect their origin servers to Cloudflare's network without opening inbound ports. On the industry content front, CSS Tricks published an excellent article by Jeff Graham on June 8th, comparing scroll-driven animations, scroll-triggered animations, container query scroll states, and view transitions. If you're building product detail pages or category experiences with scroll-based effects, this is essential reading. The distinction between scroll-driven, animation progress tied to scroll position, and scroll-triggered, animation fires when an element enters the viewport, is one that's easy to confuse but critical to get right for performance. Scroll-driven animations are generally more performant because they're declarative CSS, while scroll-triggered animations that rely on JavaScript intersection observers can contribute to main thread congestion. Smashing Magazine, meanwhile, published on Making Design Systems AI Ready, how to reduce drift, minimize mistakes, and improve the quality of AI-generated prototypes. While this might seem distant from e-commerce monitoring, there's a practical connection. As AI tools generate more of the front-end code for e-commerce sites, the quality and consistency of that output directly affects performance and reliability. Poorly generated code means more errors, more layout shifts, and more monitoring alerts. And Practical E-commerce continued its coverage of the agentic commerce trend, with their June 3rd tools roundup highlighting agentic commerce audits alongside more traditional merchant services. The emergence of AI agents that can autonomously browse, evaluate, and purchase from e-commerce sites creates entirely new monitoring requirements. If an AMI agent hits an error on your checkout page, there's no frustrated customer who might try again. The agent simply moves on to a competitor. Site reliability becomes even more critical in an agentic commerce world. So what's the through line connecting all of these stories this week? It's visibility. The WebRTC skimmer succeeds because merchants can't see what's happening in their customers' browsers. Performance issues persist because teams are measuring synthetic benchmarks instead of real user experiences. Cart abandonment stays stubbornly above 70% because the technical friction in the checkout flow goes undetected until it shows up in lost revenue. The tools exist to close these visibility gaps. Our real user monitoring, client-side error detection, performance tracking tied to business outcomes. This is what modern e-commerce monitoring looks like. And it's what Audit IQ delivers every day for the merchants who use it. That's your Audit IQ update for June 10th, 2026. If any of this sparked a question or you want to learn more about e-commerce monitoring, you can find us at auditiq.cloud. We'll be back next week. Until then, keep monitoring.